Volume 4, Chapter 2, The Response in Britain. So zealous and skillful were the American radicals at spreading their account of Lexington and Concord that, by a feat of seamanship and enterprise, the American version reached Britain 2 full weeks before the official dispatches of General Thomas Gage. Dr. Warren dispatched the skillful young mariner, Captain John Derby, to England from Salem. Derby reached London before the end of May, quickly placing the papers in the custody of the radical John Wilkes, by then Lord Mayor of London. The next day, the American version of the affair hit the English press with great impact. The Reverend John Horne, a leading radical of London, promptly issued an appeal for funds to aid the widows and orphans of Americans murdered at Lexington, funds to help our beloved American fellow subjects, who, faithful to the character of Englishmen, preferring death to slavery, were, for that reason only, inhumanly murdered by the King's troops. For sending the money thus raised to Benjamin Franklin, who had already sailed for America earlier that year, Horne was imprisoned by the Crown. For its part, the British government, bereft of information for 2 critical weeks, could only deny that such battles had taken place, a denial that made it a laughingstock when Gage's dispatches finally arrived. The outbreak of war had a great and critical impact upon the liberal Whigs, many of whom were high-ranking officers in the British armed forces. Some refused outright to serve in war against the Americans, including Admiral Augustus Keppel and Lord Effingham. Rather than lead the war against the Americans, Effingham published his resignation from the army in September, for which he received public thanks from London, Dublin, Newcastle, and other cities. The British Army was hit by numerous other resignations of conscience-stricken Whigs. Lord Chatham publicly refused to allow his son, William Pitt the Younger, to fight against the Americans. A typical Whig defection among leading Englishmen was that of Granville Sharp, the man chiefly responsible 3 years earlier for the legal action that outlawed slavery within England. When the American Revolution broke out, Sharp was assistant to the Secretary of Ordnance and was in charge of ordering the munitions for the British Army in the colonies. By midsummer, he obtained extended leave from his duties because, "I cannot return to my ordnance duty whilst a bloody war is carried on, unjustly as I conceive, against my fellow subjects." As the war dragged on, Sharp finally resigned his post, winning public applause for his courageous act. Many merchants joined the Whig leaders in opposition to war against the Americans. The Common Council of London petitioned the King to end the harsh measures against the Americans, and the Livery Company of London declared that the Americans were duty-bound to resist invasion of their rights. This American victory for the minds of the British people was never entirely erased by the government, especially since Warren had been careful to appeal to the English as fellow subjects in natural alliance against the Crown and its armed forces. The Crown, of course, in the manner of hardliners throughout history, refused to acknowledge that its policy of coercion had failed. Instead, so much the more did the Americans need to be suppressed and the rebels and villains to be taught a lesson. For the moment, 6 regiments from the Mediterranean were to be sent to Boston, and more enlistments were hoped for, enlistments that failed to materialize. Neither was the North Ministry at all apologetic about the failure to cow the Americans. Instead, blame was put on subversive Whigs, who had put ideas of liberty and revolution into the heads of the Americans, and, more specifically, on the supposed incompetence of General Gage, who had, however, been essentially acting on Crown orders.